Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He is one of the premier handicappers that you're going to find anywhere. Pregame.com is where his handicapping home is. He's a two-time Super Contest winner, and you can get him on Twitter. He is at, well, hang on a second, at Real Steve Fezzik. No more Fezzik Sports? Steve Fezzik?
No, the real Steve Fezzik is actually a fake Steve Fezzik. Don't go there. That's not me.
Okay.
Sports is correct.
Okay, gotcha. All right, that's okay. Well, there you go. They have the same logo and everything. I'm going, wait a second here. All right, so at Fezzik. Well, that's, I tell you what, that's high praise for somebody to have a fake account of you. Are you flattered by that?
Not at all. He's a lifetime COD man who, like, tries to bilk people out of the money. But I do hear that he's been winning with my selections, so that's
good. Well, there you go. So, Fez, let's start with this Alliance of American Football. And I saw you tweeting out yesterday some of the moves on the lines and, you know, just some of the things going on around the world of the AAF. I guess just a purely mechanical question to start off with. How are the odds makers setting lines on this? What type of information are they using? What are they putting into the mix when it comes to spitting out lines on these games?
I think it's a complete guesswork. Their limits are super low. I know that the league has put out a lot of information to Vegas and to the odds makers, but frankly, most of the Vegas books took a wait-and-see approach. They let somebody else put the numbers up and really just went ahead and copied them. The totals, the odds makers were completely confused by, because the league wants to absolutely prioritize offense. But the problem is, and we learned this 20 years ago with the XFL, brand new football teams take a while to come together, and there just has not been much scoring.
Yeah, and I there's a few other mechanical questions I have about this, Steve. The fact that teams have to go for 2 points after touchdowns, we know that in the NFL and to a lesser extent in college, there are conventional football numbers like 3 and 7 and 10 that are largely driven by the fact that 95% of the time teams are going to kick an extra point as opposed to going for two. What type of variability gets injected into all of this with teams having to go for 2 points now?
Great question. It certainly makes it less likely that games are going to land on 3 and 7. Think about it. If you have a tie game and a team's about to score a touchdown, it's impossible for the game to land on 7. So I think we're going to see a whole lot more of the different numbers hitting and just shopping for those key numbers, more important in the NFL than the Alliance of American Football, AAF, do I call it, Sean?
Yeah. I think their Twitter handle is at the AAF. So yeah, we're going AAF on that one, Fez, for sure. And I'm curious how much of a bump or how much... I don't know. Maybe it's probably too early to tell. But, you know, a team gets Steve Spurrier as its head coach. That's a big name. They get a recognizable name as a quarterback, let's say. How much does name recognition, and I guess I would say particularly with head coaches, because let's face it, if players are in this league, it probably means they're not great players. Otherwise, they'd be in the NFL. But how much do big names affect the impression of the gambling community, do you think, or how much do you think it will as this thing starts to take a foothold?
I don't think it will move the needle at all. What's much more important is, can you coach? And so if you're a fan of Memphis, the Express, I think you've got to be very concerned about Mike Singletary. I don't know what Mr. Singletary has done to warrant a head coaching job. Great player so far. Inauspicious start for his coaching here.
What do you think about all the things that the league is doing? You know, with the, I know in their app, they're having people, you know, pick whether it's pass or run, which I'm guessing is something that over time is going to be something that can, at least places where gambling is legal, can be used as part of a wagering platform. How crucial do you think things like that are to the survivability of this league, and I guess to the same extent at the XFL?
I think it's critical that the ability to gamble is there. It doesn't have to be high limits at all. It's nice if you can gamble during the game. as well. So that will keep the interest of a whole lot of people to watch all these games. So I really think they've got to promote it more to get all of the books to be able to put up lines earlier and the like. The problem is that the rules change that they've made to promote more scoring, I actually like all the rules changes. To summarize, you basically can't blitz, and instead of a 40-second clock, there's a 35-second clock, so it's faster paced. But now here's the problem. The 35-second clock is going to create more plays, and that's good. However, it's going to make the offenses, in my opinion, less efficient because they got to rush to get the play off, and we're certainly seeing that early on in week one action that several times the offense was up against the play clock and really struggled. So in terms of offensive efficiency, that's going to make the offenses worse. They haven't tweaked the rules enough, Sean, to promote more scoring.
Anything else jump out at you in watching these first round of games, Fez, that either wagering or otherwise that you liked or didn't like about the league?
I just think it's so critical to have a really good quarterback. Let's think about the NFL. So as long as you got a top 12 quarterback, you got a Drew Brees out there, even if he's banged up, he's really, really difficult to stop. You got a Big Ben out there, obviously a Brady, but even, you know, the second tier, pretty good quarterbacks, the Dak Prescotts of the world, can create problems. But what happens when a team loses their quarterback or has a struggling one, even an Eli Manning that's way past his prime? They can't move the ball. And because of this, by definition, you've got third string quarterbacks essentially being the starting quarterbacks. I think the league is going to have a scoring problem because of that.
Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Fez, I guess just a little cleanup from the Super Bowl last week. The last time you and I spoke, the national anthem was getting ready to get started on the Super Bowl last week. How did the books do with the Super Bowl, especially with so many of the prop bets? I'm assuming the individual prop bets going under in such a low-scoring game.
Yeah, the books did well. They loved to cry about how they had to pay out a 250-to-1 payout on those who bet that there'd only be 3 points scored by the Rams, but they did just fine. They took in $150 million in Vegas, and they won about $10 million. So that's about a 7% hold. Sean, think about that. If you just had a random drunk baby go to the window and say you wanted to bet the Rams or New England, flipped a coin, the house would only win 5%, 4.5% actually. Instead, the house won 7% against the public, and it shows that the public is indeed not getting any sharper. And the house makes a killing on all these prop bets when all the public keeps playing everybody over and hardly anybody goes over.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I just as I'm watching that game unfold, I'm like, man, the books, at least on the prop bets, they've got to be laughing right now with all this. And one of your best ones was Brady under, I think it got up to 302 or 303 passing yards. You were laughing on that one early in the second half.
Yeah, Super Bowl is a unique opportunity that the public will move a number. Brady opens 284 passing yards, closes at some books at 303. Why? Because what's the public going to do? They saw Brady throw for almost 500 yards on average the last two Super Bowls, so they're going to bet Brady to go over. It gives us value going under on Super Bowl Sunday.
Anything jump out at you about the early Super Bowl odds for next year? The ink's not even dry on this year yet. We've already got odds out on 2019. Any early thoughts on that?
Well, Kansas City is one of the favorites, and I think they're a deserved favorite with Brady turning 42. I think KC should be the number one choice to go to the Super Bowl. And when you think about it, their defense wasn't very good last year. So with a new defensive coordinator and the fact that we got to expect Mahomes and all those playmakers are going to be good next year, and the defense should improve. And also, the wise guys will tell you, the predictability of offense year to year is easier than defense. Defense can get better or worse, but if you've got a really good offense, it tends to stay good. If you've got a bad offense, it tends to stay bad. The defense can really improve, however.
Yeah, I think it's a corollary of what you were talking about earlier with quarterbacks. You know, if you got a good quarterback, you're probably going to be, at worst, you're going to be above average offensively. I'm curious if there is a team that maybe missed the playoffs this past season that you could see being a chic pick, not necessarily one that's up in the 5 or 6 to 1 with the favorites, but one where as you're looking at it, you get down in that 10 to 15 to 1 range and you go, huh, they weren't in the postseason last year. Do you see any teams that could be that you could see the betting public getting behind?
I could see the pros backing the 49ers. You get Jimmy G back And let's face it, they had, I believe, a minus 25 turnover differential. So one of the most unluckiest teams in the league. Their underlying stats really weren't that poor. And I think if Jimmy G can come back healthy, 49ers could easily make the playoffs and be an under-the-radar value play.
Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Steve, we got a couple more minutes. NBA All-Star break is coming up pretty soon. We just had a trade deadline where we saw a few big names move. Marc Gasol to Toronto. We saw Nikola Mirotic to Milwaukee, Tobias Harris to Philly. It's almost like an arms race going on in the Eastern Conference. What has all that done to the odds right now for which team's going to come out of the East?
Two things have happened, Sean. One is that the East suddenly is not the little brother to the West. Four of the five best teams in the NFL reside in the East right now. So there is an arms race. And what's fascinating, one local book in Vegas has no idea who should win the East. And how do we know this? You can bet on who wins the East. And the top four teams, Boston, Toronto, Milwaukee, and Philly, are all tied, virtual heat, at plus 225 to win the East, and it shows how much parity there really is.
For sure. So are all these teams legit title contenders, or are they just battling for a chance to get guillotined by the Golden State Warriors?
They're all battling for a chance to get destroyed because Golden State, you know, Golden State is so good. Right now, Golden State has a two-thirds chance to win the NBA title against everybody else, and that shows how dominant this team really is. And frankly, Boogie Cousins seems to have integrated well coming in. Absent an injury, I don't see anyone beating them, but it is fascinating who should be favored in the East. I think Boston should be favored because even though they're sleepwalking through the season, they're kind of doing what Golden State has done a couple years before, in that I don't think they're emphasizing these games nearly as much as Milwaukee and the other teams in the East. With Brad Stevens as the coach, I would look to Boston to still be the favorite in the East, even though they're the team that didn't upgrade.
Yeah, well, and how much do you factor in how battle-tested that team is? The young players all made a deep run to the postseason, and Kyrie Irving's been to the finals multiple times with the Cavaliers.
Oh, I think it's huge, and last time I checked and remembered, that was Boston without Kyrie Irving and without Gordon Hayward playing right. Milwaukee last year in the playoffs, and if they were able to beat them then, I know Milwaukee's upgraded, and I know that Mirotic is a really good stretch player that can shoot threes, and Milwaukee's probably going to have home court. I still can't see them beating Boston.
Last one, I think we all thought it might be slow for the Lakers and LeBron James coming out of the gate, but that maybe they'd get it put together by the second half. But this Anthony Davis thing seems to have at least temporarily derailed this team. What are your thoughts on the Lakers?
My goodness, how the media narrative changes on a day-by-day basis. So the Lakers lose by 42 at the Pacers. They're done. They're finished. Stick a fork in them. Actually, that was my take after that game. And then a team that can't shoot threes, the Lakers, they're 27th in the league shooting threes. They set a franchise record. They go 22 for 41 from three, and they win at Boston. Miracle win. Oh, they saved their season. Well, for a day. They got smashed at Philly today. I think the Lakers will miss the playoffs. They can't shoot. They have bad chemistry. Their young players have been told that they're expendable. Sacramento goes to the playoffs, not the Lakers in the eighth slot.
Steve Fezzik with the call at the end right there. Fezzik at Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K. Pregame.com is where you can get all of his picks and material on there. Does a great job. Two-time Super Contest winner joins us each and every week. Fez, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next Sunday, man.
Sean, my pleasure. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.